On Point is a production of WBUR Boston and NPR.
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Two wins for Mitt Romney last night, a big one in Arizona, and a close one in his home state of Michigan.
We didn't win by a lot, but we won by enough, and that's all that counts.
At least for now. But Rick Santorum was close behind on Romney's home turf. There's been a lot of hand-wringing in the GOP about the field of contenders. Talk of white knights and a rescue. Is that over now? Is the GOP effectively lining up to take on Barack Obama? This hour on Point after Michigan, you can join the conversation. Are you, Republicans, are you finding the right stuff in your contenders, the right challenger? And is it Mitt Romney? Can he get it done? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And you can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. We'll hear a lot of voices in this hour, and later on in the hour, we're going to look at Maine Senator Olympia Snowe saying too much partisanship after all her years there as a moderate Republican. She will not run for re-election. But joining us first today from Alexandria, Virginia, is Kim Alfano, GOP strategist, former advisor to Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels and many others, president and CEO of Alfano Communications. Kim, great to have you with us today.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for having me.
So, and with us today, stand by there, Kim, from Washington, is Janet Hook, political reporter for The Wall Street Journal. Janet Hook, welcome. It's great to have you back.
Great to be here.
So, what do we learn about Mitt Romney in this Michigan test, Janet?
Well, he pulled it out, and it was a real must-win for him. It's The main thing you have to think about is what would the alternative have looked like if he'd lost, and it would have been pretty devastating. What we learned was, really, when Mitt Romney has to win, he can win. He really kind of poured in the resources in a state that a couple months ago, we thought was a slam dunk for
right.
Mitt Romney.
Right.
Then Rick Santorum surged, and there was a shockingly wide margin. And when he saw that, Mitt Romney poured in more money and time than he ever thought he would have to, and he pulled it out.
He pulled it out, and here he was last night in Novi, Michigan, where only days before nobody was sure. Here he is.
I stand ready to lead our party to victory and our nation back to prosperity. We'll get the job done.
You know, Kim Alfano, it's great to talk big, and Mitt Romney deserved it with his win last night, but there was so much hand-wringing in the days and weeks leading up to this vote. He says he's ready to lead the party to victory. A lot of Republicans seem to be wondering if he really had the right stuff to do that. Does Michigan change the hand-wringing, Kim?
Yes. He certainly put a lot of therapists and bartenders to work during this process, but I think we're getting there. I think we certainly are getting there, but we need to get it done because I don't want us to jump the shark and get past the point where this is this will start hurting the party. But you know, everybody, the conventional wisdom is that the fire hones the product, and after a while, I just don't want us to burn the product.
I mean, well, I take
we're very, 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 very close to that.
Well, what do you mean by that? With all the talk and all the hair pulling of the last weeks, I guess you're saying.
Yeah, I'd say that you know, he's definitely honing his skills, and I just don't want him to get to the point where we're tired of his missteps. But he's definitely honing his skills, and his operation seems to always pull it out, as we've just said. But you know, enough is enough. Let's get to beating Obama.
I mean, there are skills, Janet Hook, and then there's the product itself, as Kim calls it. Rick Santorum, very critical of Mitt Romney in this Michigan race and saying, you know, he's uniquely unqualified, that he's a lightweight when it comes to conservative issues. You know how much talk there was, like, you know, 5 minutes ago, Janet, about we've got to find a white knight. This may be a brokered convention and all the rest. Is that finished now or not?
Well, I think certainly the hand-wringing's not finished. I think the talk of a brokered convention or a contested convention, all along it's been unclear what that would amount to because there wasn't any obvious white knight willing to step forward or even a practical way they could do it.
I mean, people talked about Jeb Bush, and they still talked about Chris Christie, and they still talked about Kim's Mitch Daniels.
Right. I think it's those names are just proxies for generalized anxiety. I don't really know how anybody could pull together a last minute campaign like that. I think though that what this points to is a broader dynamic that a lot of Republicans are worried about is just that as the campaign goes on, the voters' assessment of these candidates is just going down because they're doing such a good job of attacking each other. And so it's not just Romney. The entire party is feeling kind of bruised by it. And it's a particularly difficult or risky proposition now that they're heading into a big state like Ohio during Super Tuesday. Mm-hmm. That's a state it's important not just for the Republican to win the nomination, but that's a crucial battleground state in the general election.
But understand what the hand-wringing is about. It's not about the conservative credentials. It's been about someone capable of talking optimistically about the economy, optimistically about Barack Obama's mishandling of the economy, and getting it right. And Ohio will be a great place to see if they can do that well. Both have had some glimmers of excellence in talking about that. When they've gotten off that track, they've gone down. When they've done it well, they've gone up. If Mitt Romney can get back to what is comfortable in his wheelhouse and talking about that and not talking about the height of trees, he will do well. And when the discussion gets back to that, and we stop allowing Barack Obama to be proud of 8%+ unemployment, of 65% employment, then the Republicans will do really well. But that's what the hand-wringing about. The hand-wringing is not about who can be the most conservative. And you see when Santorum started getting into that very, very far conservative rhetoric on social issues, he went down. So I think that, that's where the hand-wringing has become greater, is when we don't talk about where we're going to win the election.
I mean, we hear you rooting for a victory there, Kim, and that's your job. You're a Republican strategist. But I've heard another deeper strain of hand-wringing, and it's about the Republican Party kind of constituency itself blowing up or coming apart at the seams. I mean, here's John Heilman in New York Magazine writing about transfigurations, around demography and temperament, a party that's wider and less schooled and more blue-collar and very populist, divided, against a sort of establishment versus grassroots and secular versus religious and upscale versus downscale and highfalutin versus hoi polloi, that kind of, oh my gosh, is this going to hold together concern, Kim?
Yeah, I think I would just add one nuance, which is the shining city on the hill versus grumpy I watched Barack Obama's speech yesterday, and I fear that we're getting the rally cry versus the grumpy cry stolen from us. We are great at the shining city on the hill thing, and if we don't find that way to criticize the president and steal back the optimism, then I think we have a problem too. So that would be my thing.
Janet, what about this sort of deep analysis of the GOP saying, the party has kind of played with fire or found fire on the very conservative right, and now it's having trouble keeping everything in one tent here?
Well, it's worth remembering that there's no time more likely to see the divisions within a party than during a primary campaign.
Mm-hmm.
I think a better assessment of the state of the party will come once the Republicans have their nominee and see how effectively they rally. But it is true, though, that over the last two election cycles, the Republican Party has been changing and redefining itself in ways that are helpful and harmful. I do think that, after their big, big successes in 2010 with electing Tea Party candidates that took control of Congress and state legislatures, Republicans were handed a huge amount of power. But with it, they got, as you say, new constituencies, and I think that this is the primary season where they're learning on a national level how to manage the new coalition.
Mm. Rick Santorum by no means bowing out last night. Here he was in Grand Rapids, not with a victory, but feeling the love.
What an absolutely great night. I am so thankful to so many people here tonight. First and foremost, I just have to say to the people of Michigan, we came into the backyard of one of my opponents in a race that everyone said, well, just ignore, you have really no chance here. And the people of Michigan looked into the hearts of the candidates, and all I have to say is, I love you back. Thank you.
I love you back. Kim, how do you see Rick Santorum going towards Super Tuesday? Is he still in the game? Is he more in the game? These got some more conservative states coming up here.
Hey, he's got passion, and yeah, he's got some natural constituencies in the states coming up. Santorum has to ask himself, he could be an effective political athlete if he can be disciplined. If he can be disciplined to not, the press knows how to press Santorum's buttons. The president set him up with some social bait, I'd say, with the contraceptive thing, and he jumped right all over it and went ahead and jumped into those social issues that are his passion. And it took him off what was a natural message coming out of Iowa, which could have been, grandson of a coal miner kind of message that would have, which I think would have been great. I mean, that up against Obama could have been a very passionate and, I think, sincere, authentic message. If he can get back to that, I think, in a place like Ohio, combined with his natural social bent in places like Tennessee and Georgia and even Oklahoma, that could be a pretty powerful thing going into Super Tuesday. But if he gets pulled off wholly on social conservative messages, I think he looks unelectable in the longer game, and that becomes a problem for him.
Of course, big question there is,
everybody wants to beat Obama.
Right? But big question there is whether that's pulling Rick Santorum off. I mean, that seems like his home base.
That's Rick Santorum.
That's what he cares about.
He's comfortable there.
Yeah.
And it's passionate, and it's real, and it's, you can't fault the guy. That's where he is. That's who he is.
Hey, Kim, stand by. We've got to take a short break right here. Janet Hook, it's great to have both of you with us. We're looking at Romney's close call in Michigan and where the GOP goes now. Did you think it would be Santorum's night, and what does it mean that it was Mitt Romney's? What does Mitt Romney still have to prove, if anything, after Arizona and Michigan? Will it be Mitt? Will he be the champ? Can he beat Obama? 800-423-8255. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about Romney's close call in Michigan, strong win in Arizona, and whether the GOP is now bringing a convincing challenge into the field against Barack Obama. Janet Hook with The Wall Street Journal is with us from Washington today. Kim Alfano's here, GOP strategist. She's worked with Iowa Governor Terry Branstad and Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels and many others. You can join the conversation as well. What do you think? Is the GOP bringing what it's going to take to the field to effectively take on President Barack Obama? Is Romney's still a fragile candidacy? We heard a lot about that in the last couple of weeks. What's that fragility concern about? Are you paying attention to what Romney, Santorum, Gingrich, Paul are proposing for the country, their policies? Is it the right stuff? 800-423-8255 is our number. 800-423-TALK. Romney still kind of stiff and stilted through this thing. He pulled it out, though, but here he was with that sort of a two Cadillacs moment, talking about how he was a car guy and happy to be back in Michigan. And, well, here he is.
Just feels good being back in Michigan. The trees are the right height. The streets are just right. I like the fact that most of the cars I see are Detroit-made automobiles. I drive a Mustang and a Chevy pickup truck. Ann drives a couple of Cadillacs, actually. And I used to have a Dodge truck, so I used to have all three covered.
A couple of Cadillacs caught a lot of people's attention there. Goes down to NASCAR, but, it's not such a fan, but he's got buddies who own NASCAR teams, and there's that issue of his fortune and how he handles it. Rick Santorum issue on that side of the ledger, maybe exactly about how he deals with faith and religion. It's a strength for many people. But then we've heard him for months now talking about how he wants more faith in politics. And even going back to candidate John F. Kennedy's 1960 speech on the president of church and state. Here he was back in October. He brought it up again in Michigan. But here he was then.
I had the opportunity to read the speech and I almost threw up. In my opinion, it was the beginning of the secular movement of politicians to separate their faith from the public square. And he threw faith under the bus in that speech.
Threw faith under the bus. It got a lot of attention in this last round of campaigning, and it made Rick Santorum want to throw up. Joyce in Cromwell, Connecticut. Joyce, thanks for calling. You're on the air. Hi, Joyce. You're on. What do you think?
I think Mitt Romney has won in many places because he's had deep pockets, because he's been able to reach into his personal bank account and buy these wins. And I worry what will happen when he gets in the White House when he's no longer able to buy what he wants as an outcome. He has not shown an ability to lead because of his charisma or his ability to inspire people. He's led because he's been able to buy these things.
Joyce, where do you come to this from? Are you a Democrat, independent, Republican? What?
I'm actually a Republican, and I want Obama to win.
Why?
Well, I've been long at odds with my Republicanism, and I no longer hold the values of the core. I've become more liberal as I've aged and become more educated, and I'm not a college snob, but I just only felt Republican when it was a fiscal thing. I can't abide the social issues. If Republicans truly want independence and freedom from the law, then I don't understand how they can think about dictating to women what they can do with their bodies. And
Joyce, we've got it. So there's kind of a once Republican, but worried about Mitt Romney. Interesting, at a press conference in Michigan, this was just yesterday, Janet, Kim, Mitt Romney, I mean, he didn't say exactly the same thing, but there were echoes of what Joyce is saying right there when Mitt Romney talked about how far some candidates were willing to go to bring in the far wing of the party. Here he is.
It's very easy to excite the base with incendiary comments. And we've seen throughout the campaign that if you're willing to say really outrageous things that are accusative and attacking of President Obama, that you're going to jump up in the polls. I'm not willing to light my hair on fire to try and get support. I am who I am. I'm a person with extensive experience in the private sector, in the economy. I understand job creation from a personal standpoint and from a theoretical standpoint.
Kim Alfano, there's Mitt Romney. I am who I am, he's saying there. Not willing to light my hair on fire. And this sort of, it sounds to me like what he's saying. Look, I'm not way out there. I don't want to be incendiary. Is that a winner for the fall, though, Kim? I mean, maybe it gives him some headwinds in the primary. Maybe that's the winning position in the fall.
I would say, though I've had many Christian Coalition considered clients, I would consider myself a Daniels sickle fanatic. Is that a word? and I would agree with him. I think that given the situation in the economy, that there needs to be I would go with his commentary that there needs to be a truce on these issues for a while, because no single thing is greater importance than turning the economy around. And I think he's right. I think you can't pander to win an election. You have to go with what is singularly most important at the moment, which is fixing the economy. And of the candidates running, even if I personally liked Rick Santorum's positions, which at the moment I don't, it doesn't matter at the moment. You really have to singularly focus on the economy, and the person who can do that is Mitt Romney.
Janet Hook, how does it work for Mitt as he goes forward here? I mean, the Obama White House, everybody reports, targeted him, sees him, has seen him as the greatest threat here because he would be more moderate in the general election. And Mitt, in that tape we just heard, saying, look, I'm kind of sticking with my position here, though, and others, he said, I'm the most conservative among, all that. How does it line up for him? Does he bring the enthusiasm of the GOP into the fall election if he doesn't do what he calls incendiary stuff, light his hair on fire?
Well, one thing, because he won the Michigan primary, my guess is we're not going to see any big course change in the message and strategy that Romney's taken. Mm-hmm. If he had lost, we might have seen a, fruit basket upset. Oh, no, rearrange the staff, take a new message.
Right.
It was a very hard victory for him, harder than you would have expected. And I think in that, I'm not going to light my hair on fire statement, you see him feeling like that this is the winning strategy. It may be hard through a couple of the primaries. But, you had the sense early on when he, in the early primaries before he ran into the rough air in South Carolina, that he was kind of running a general election strategy even through the primary, not tacking too far to the right and preserving his ability to position himself for the general election. That became harder when the other candidates started popping up and beating him.
What about the money muscle here? I mean, he spent $30 million just on TV ads already. That's a lot of dough. Does he, will he have enough money to power through to the fall? Will money do it? How big a role can that play? It's been big against much less well-financed competition in the primary, Janet. But what about Romney and the money future?
Well, sure. I mean, money is always a big thing. And in this election, there's also the new element of all the candidates having super PACs affiliated with them, spending even more money. And actually, one of the arguments that the Republican candidates are making is there, or Santorum in particular, is making the case that no matter how much money the Republican raises, Obama's going to have more. So we need to have a candidate out there who can win without a financial advantage. It's an interesting twist. Romney's had kind of an emerging problem with his money in that a lot of his donations are coming from people who've already hit their maximum donation. Big donors.
They're all in already.
All in. So he needs to expand, at least for the primaries. I mean, you can get another round of donations for the general election, but he's really going to have to expand his donor base if this primary campaign continues much longer.
Or really lean on the other side of the ledger where it's not so controlled. Kathleen in Nashville, Tennessee. Kathleen, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Tom. I just wanted to make a point about religion and politics. They're not mutually exclusive. They're not mutually inclusive. I think it's more should be more about the issues and not about who has the deepest pockets. It should be more about integrity, transparency, and fixing the United States.
Kathleen, are you Republican, Democrat, Independent? Where do you stand?
I'm a Republican.
And are you fired up about the field?
Not at all.
Hey, let's get one more hit right. Thanks, Kathleen. Bob in Pittsburgh. Bob, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
The reason I'm calling was really to express my total frustration right now with the media and also the Republican and for that matter, Democratic pundits that just seem to completely be ignoring this AmericansElect.org movement that's going on the Internet, where a third presidential name, a third presidential ticket is going to be on the ballot in all 50 states. And it seems like it's just the obvious way for those dissatisfied Republicans that don't like their current choices to pull out the person they do want.
You're still looking for a third party and want attention for it. It's hard to get when there's a big race going on, but we take your point, Bob. I wonder if we get a Rick Santorum supporter in here right now. He gave Mitt Romney a big run for the money in Michigan, didn't quite pull it off, but said last night he felt the love. Ed Morrissey is with us from Minneapolis, Minnesota, senior editor and blogger at the conservative website hotair.com. Rick Santorum is his man. Ed, thanks very much for joining us.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
What does it mean that Rick did not take the big prize of Michigan?
Well, I think it's obviously it's bad news for Rick Santorum, and it was probably worse because he had a significant polling lead prior to the last debate, and so he was in position to win that state, and he wasn't able to close the deal. And I think that reflects one of Romney's strengths, which is organization and ability to finish. And one of Santorum's weaknesses, which is the mere image of that organization and ability to finish.
Was it about message or money then? His loss to Mitt last night, Ed, or yesterday?
Oh, I think it really had to do with more about the message, because even at a money disadvantage, he was rising in the polls before that last debate.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the debate he spent on the defensive. He really didn't get a chance to talk about his message. He was busy defending himself from Mitt Romney. And I think you played the clip about John F. Kennedy, his statement on John F. Kennedy.
Want to throw up when he...
Yeah, mm-hmm. He lost Catholics last night in Michigan, which was rather surprising, and probably that statement probably had something to do with it.
But why? Because of loyalty to John F. Kennedy? I mean, he's saying, I want more faith in the White House, more faith in government, more religion.
I think that there's a way to frame that particular argument as a values argument rather than as an explicitly religious argument, and I don't think Santorum has mastered that skill.
Why did you throw in with Rick Santorum and not Mitt Romney, Ed? Do you see a fragile candidacy, or did you in Mitt Romney's? Do you still see fragility there or not?
Well, I see fragility in both campaigns, and you know, it's a primary, so you're going to see that anyway. I went in with Rick Santorum because I think in a primary you vote for somebody who's the most consistently representative of your own positions, and in the general election it's much more of a A or B choice. And I thought Rick Santorum, for me, was the person who who represented that best and also had the most integrity in running the campaign. Because at the time, I made my decision about the time that my state went to the caucuses. And at the time, Mitt Romney and Newt Gingrich were trying to out-occupy Wall Street each other in ads and speeches. And Rick Santorum was a guy saying, look, this is we're in favor of free markets. We're in favor of being able to put your skills in the market and earning a profit from them. And, yeah. and I think that as a party, that message got lost in that whole Romney-Gingrich kerfuffle, I guess you can call it.
Hey, Ed, let me ask you about integrity in this one. This was Rick Santorum, your guy, in Troy, Michigan. This was on Saturday. We went after President Obama for encouraging people to go for that college degree.
President Obama once said he wants everybody in America to go to college. What a snob. They're good, decent men and women who go out and work hard every day and put their skills to test that aren't taught by some liberal college professor.
Ed, what is that about? What a snob. What is he talking about? My grandfather was a farmer. He went to ninth grade. That was it. All he wanted was for his kids and grandkids to go to college. That was not a snobby thing. It was isn't that the American way?
No, and this is gets back to message rather than money. I mean, I think that he's running on the basis of trying to restart manufacturing, trying to bring down the college education bubble by saying that there are other alternatives for people that are good, high-paying jobs. If you can restart the manufacturing sector, not everybody needs to go to college in order to succeed. Now that's a positive message. What Santorum did in Troy was turning it into a negative message. And Santorum was building strength in his campaign when he stuck to positive messages. And I think that he took the wrong lesson from Wednesday night's debate and really started going...
get harsh, negative. Get hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, too negative.
Yeah.
Too negative. You have to frame these things in positive terms. And he has a point, by the way, in that particular approach to economics. But it gets lost in the whole Obama's a snob because he wants kids to go to college. I mean, like you just said, you know, I have one son. He went to college. He's still in there. He's going for his doctorate. I'm very proud of him for doing that.
I mean, that's part of the American story. Push for it. If you can, go for it. Hey, Kim, is Santorum fully still in the race? Could he still pull this out? What do you think, Kim?
He could, and I think the caller's absolutely right. There's back to that Shining City on the Hill thing that I was talking about. If he mm-hmm. can frame the negative message about Obama in a positive message about where we're headed, Americans always opt for optimism. And it will bury Obama because Obama's direction is entirely wrong for the country. And even though the country is turning around just a little bit, the recovery has been so weak and so slow that we're looking for something else. And if that something else shows people a way out. I mean, look at the reaction that the Clint Eastwood commercial got. That teeny little bit of optimism, even though people say it was an Obama commercial, that teeny little bit of optimism just perked people up. If we can do that, if we as a party can do that, if we can find that voice, we'll bury the guy.
Janet,
and Santorum had a little glimmer of that, and he lost it. He lost it when he got caustic and went off on tangents. And Romney needs to find that. And he can find that because he has an economic soul, in a sense. And instead, he's off on tangents, too. So we got to just find the right tangent.
A soul, but kind of stilted sometimes there in Michigan. Still,
he's
a dork, but maybe that's the, maybe
that's
he's the
okay.
CEO
I mean,
dork the country needs,
I love my man Mitch. He has a dorky side, too, but we found a soul for him.
Hey.
And that was real and authentic, and it works.
Yeah. Janet, do you see Rick Santorum still fully in the game? Could he still pull this out, bump Mitt Romney aside?
Well, the odds are that he doesn't bump Romney aside, but he still has the capacity to make a lot of trouble for him. I mean, when you look ahead to Super Tuesday, there are a lot of states where he has a good chance of winning. It's hard to see how he adds up enough delegates to take the nomination away from him. But right now, there's just so many contests ahead of us, and the possibility for him to keep playing. I don't think we can count him out, even if he's not likely to win the nomination.
Ed, we got just a couple of seconds. You hanging in there for your guy, Rick?
Oh, sure. I still like Rick Santorum, but I think it's starting to get very close to the end here. If he can't do something on Super Tuesday, he's in real trouble.
Ed Morrissey with HotAir.com out of Minneapolis. Thanks for being with us, Ed. Kim Alfano and Janet Hook with The Wall Street Journal. Please stand by. Listeners, we're looking at Mitt Romney's close call in Michigan, strong win in Arizona. What do you think? GOP, is this the best you've got? Are you thinking white knight? Or is somebody on the field right now in position to do it? 800-423-TALK. This is On Point. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about Romney's close call, but a win in Michigan, strong win in Arizona, and whether the GOP is bringing a convincing challenge into the field to face President Barack Obama in his reelection effort. Janet Hook is with us from the Wall Street Journal, political reporter there, joining us today from Washington. Kim Alfano is with us, GOP strategist, president and CEO of Alfano Communications. She's worked with Iowa Governor Terry Branstad and Indiana's Mitch Daniels and a lot of others. We're going to talk in a few minutes about Olympia Snowe, senator from Maine, saying she's out of there, won't run for reelection because it's just too bitterly partisan in Washington. Here was Mitt Romney taking on the president last night in his victory speech in Novi, Michigan, focusing directly on President Obama.
He raised the national debt. I will cut, cap, and balance the budget. He passed Obamacare. I will repeal Obamacare. He lost our AAA credit rating. I'll restore our AAA credit rating.
He did, I will. We'll see if he's got the stuff to do it. I mean, Janet Hook, I'm looking here at polling about among independents, where Obama now leads Romney by, 20 points or something in one survey among independents nationally. I mean, independents decide American general elections. Mitt Romney's still being pushed to the right. He says he won't set his hair on fire, but you can feel the pressure for him to go right. Rick Santorum is flanking him on the right. I mean, the longer this goes on, does it push Mitt further out there necessarily, Janet, as he works, struggles, call it what you will, to win this thing in the primary?
Well, that's exactly the risk. That's exactly the problem for Romney or whoever's going to emerge from this primary campaign is if you tack to the right to get the nomination, it puts you in places you don't want to be when it comes time to speak to the independent voters. And I mentioned earlier that Ohio is one of the big states in Super Tuesday, and that's a place where there are a lot of independents who may not be voting in the primary, but they're going to be hearing everything they say there, and they'll carry it into the general election.
Kim, how about it? I mean, how does Mitt do this? You say give the Shining City on the Hill speech, but when you got Gingrich on his right, he's got Santorum on his right, and he wants to win. And, you know, he'll tell you, I mean, I've watched Mitt Romney for a long time. He'll say what it takes. How does he stay out of that position that leaves him in trouble with the independents?
Everything he just said is popular among independents. I mean, Obamacare is wildly unpopular among independents. Those kinds of things that he just talked about are the direction the country wants to go. So I would say those aren't, you know, the birth control discussion, yeah, I'd agree with that, but Romney's not talking about that. That's what he means when he says he's not going to set his hair on fire. People don't want Obamacare. People don't want an unbalanced budget. People want the economy to turn around. They want to get rid of job-killing regulation. They want to get rid of, you know, the big government policies of Obama. So I think he's not going wildly right when he talks about the kind of policies that he just talked about.
And he doesn't have to, you're saying.
I think he's safe on those wildly, if you want to call those wildly right policies. Those are the things that where he's absolutely safe and absolutely right, in my opinion. So I think he's going, you know, and it's a state by state thing. You know, when you talk about these polls where it looks like the president is 22 points up among independents, well, that's a national poll and makes no sense when it comes to the, you know, electoral college. You got to look at state by state, and these aren't dumb folks. They're going to play state by state for
sure.
A presidential election.
Of course, the primaries are state by state, too, and he's looking at a conservative Georgia, conservative Tennessee. Clay in Georgetown,
sure.
Kentucky. Clay, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I know you've got your time's running out. I just wanted to make a couple of quick points so you can get to other callers. If Romney wins the Republican nomination, it will be, in my opinion, only because he is the best candidate in the field by default because of who is not running, Mitch Daniels, et cetera. And Romney is certainly no politician because and your clip where you played the comment about the fact that his wife drives a couple of Cadillacs is sort of evidence of that. But it is history, I think, that may tell us, that may be more of a guide for us as to how this election comes out, both in November and in the primaries. Speaking of Santorum, you know, in the history of both parties, there has never been a politician who was a former senator whose last job was in the Senate who has ever managed to get the Republican or the Democratic nomination.
Yeah, you think he just shot out of the wrong cannon?
As far
of course,
as Obama winning, you know, if Obama were to win the a second term, it would only be the second time in history that we've had three presidents in a row that have served two full terms.
Clay, you're reading it close, but then, of course, there came President Obama out of the Senate. I mean, Janet, I think a lot of people are still scratching their heads here. Here's, again, John Heilman, he says this is this primary season is the most volatile, unpredictable, and just plain wackadoodle Republican nomination contest ever. Why do you think that is? This time, Janet, when Republicans were so fired up, they had that big midterm win behind them, why has this been so zany? So many front runners all over the place, people so widely dissatisfied?
Well, one practical thing is the emergence of super PACs as an independent source of funding for campaign ads. I mean, I think if Rick Santorum and Newt Gingrich didn't have sort of million-dollar donors who were kind of throwing money into the campaign on the side.
And Newt Gingrich, Sheldon Adelson saying, here's some more millions for the Super Tuesday.
Right. I think it allows alternatives to Romney to persist much longer than they would otherwise.
Dave in Woodbridge, Connecticut. Dave, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Yeah, my quick point was that I listened to these GOP strategists come on and say that they need to attack Obama's failed economic policies, but all I see is the stock market going up, unemployment coming down. I'm an independent voter, and I just don't see that resonating with most people.
Still 8%+. That's not exactly low, but you think it's on a track that's going to work.
The United States economy is a large ship. It takes a long time to turn it around, and it's going in the right direction. It's a lot better than what we got under Bush.
Dave, we got you loud and clear. I mean, Kim, how about it? The economic news has perked up, and things do look better, certainly than they did 6 months ago when Republicans were in the midst of this contest.
Now I get to quote and steal unabashedly from Mitch Daniels.
Okay.
Certainly the unemployment rate is maybe slowly coming down, but the employment rate is an indicator that is almost as important, if not more important. And the employment rate is only at 64%, the lowest since the 70s. And as that happens, the disability rate is creeping up to its highest in the longest time. That's a permanent unemployment rate. So you have to look at the growth in the country, and the growth is terrible at the moment. We have to find a better way to
grow
the
country. But 6 months ago, you didn't have to persuade people of that. Now people, I mean, you can look at the sentiment. The sentiment has changed.
It's the truth. And you have to understand, I mean, I would rather run in this environment than any other environment you could give us. As a Republican, I'm looking at the field and saying, yeah, go, bring it.
Janet, on the other hand, our caller from Connecticut says, well, it looks to him like it's perking up. Polls show a lot of people feel the same way. How do you see that prospect? That's supposed to be the fundamental bed upon which whoever the challenger is, they challenge Obama from that. Is that ground giving way under Republicans or still bad enough that they're in a strong position to challenge?
Well, I guess it gets to a question that maybe pollsters know could answer better than me, is whether the most important thing isn't where people are economically, but where they think things are headed right around the time of the election. Mood and trajectory would obviously help Obama if things are getting better, even if they're not as much better as his critics would want them to be.
Well,
and people are living in this economy. I mean, they're not just looking at polls. They're living in it. They are unemployed or not.
Yep.
They are, feeding their children or not. They are buying another car or not. They are living in the economy. So you can show them polls all you want, but they're there.
Next big string of votes coming right up. Mood and trajectory obviously matter. We'll see where they stand next Tuesday as this whole thing rolls toward the fall. What a season it's been. Kim Alfano with Alfano Communications. Thanks so much for being with us today, Kim.
Hey, thank you for having me.
And Janet Hook, great political reporter for the Wall Street Journal. Janet, you must need a good rest here soon. Thanks very much for joining us today. We really appreciate it, Janet.
You're welcome.
In a moment, Maine's Senator Olympia Snowe will not seek re-election. This is On Point. Yesterday, Senator Olympia Snowe of Maine, moderate Republican and the swing vote on many hard-fought issues over the years, announced that she would not seek re-election this November, saying she's become frustrated with my way or the highway ideologies. Even her fellow Maine Senator Susan Collins called it a complete surprise. Joining me now from Washington is Gail Shattuck, congressional correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor. Gail, welcome back to One Point. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks, Tom.
All the headlines, yours included, say stunning, shocking, and all the rest. Why so stunning? Why so shocking? She's been kind of, going against the grain for some years now.
Well, one thing we all forget when you look at elections, you look at them and you say, Olympia Snowe is going to win, therefore she will run. And you forget that they're human beings and that they have hopes, aspirations, and their working environment matters to them. And hers has been getting harsher and harsher with every passing year. And I think she looked at the next six and said, I don't think so.
Talk to us about exactly what made that so hard for her. I mean, she did stand in a ground that just got lonelier and lonelier. Susan Collins may be in there with her, but whether it was forcing Republicans to curb the federal deficit or blocking tax cuts. I mean, she's been out there as a swing vote. But she's done that, and she's done it for a while. What exactly is the chemistry that made her just say, enough?
Well, I think part of it, you just look at the others that are leaving now. Ben Nelson, the only Democrat who consistently voted with Republicans. He was a swing vote on lots of issues. And part of this new culture in the last 10, 15 years, where members would get together in gangs, the gang of 14 that blocked an attempt to end the filibuster, supporting minority rights for Democrats at the time. Gang of six, trying to work out a negotiation over raising the debt limit. And the reason members are doing this independently and on their own is that the committee system isn't working anymore and that leaders are blocking amendments on the floor, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, and the decisions are coming from the top. And so all the fun of being a senator, working from the ground, developing, relationships with colleagues, building bipartisan support, going forward, really has been crushed in the current environment. It's interesting. This is the first year, this and last year, mm-hmm. that when you track the ideology of senators and their votes, there is no center anymore. There is no Democrat who is more conservative than a Republican, and there's no Republican who's more liberal than a Democrat.
We'll talk about
that. And that's a lonely place to be.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, it leaves us wondering what it means for American policy, what it means for the party. I mean, just on votes. I mean, Olympia Snowe was one of just five Republicans who voted for Elena Kagan in 2010, President Obama's Supreme Court pick there. One of just three who backed the $787 billion economic stimulus bill. That was back in February 2009. She was willing to be in those lonely positions. What did that get her in trouble? We've seen other senators attacking to the right, Orrin Hatch, Richard Lugar, because, they face challenges. Is that what got her off the dime and out of there, because she's got a challenge on the right?
Well, I thought that might happen. In fact, when I talked to conservative groups, that fund primary challengers, they said they were looking for a Tea Party challenger in Maine. But in the end, they couldn't find one. And, you talk to groups like the Club for Growth that are known for knocking off Republicans not viewed as conservative enough. And they were telling me just a few months ago, Maine is not the state that it was a few decades ago. If we lost Olympia Snowe, we could lose a Republican there. So we're not going to go out of our way to elect someone that can't win in that state. So I think, that the enemies on the right had pretty much laid down their arms and given up.
So she could have had, very likely, the re-election.
She's never lost an election. Mm-hmm. She won her last election by 74% of the vote. She's loved in Maine. I think it was just, and there are a lot of members I talk to that say this behind the scenes, they don't like it anymore. They don't like the work. They don't like the environment. And there are better options outside.
Well, that's
some of them go straight to K Street. I'm not sure that's her plan. Mm. But
lobbyist land.
Like it.
What does it mean for Republican dreams of taking over the Senate? Of course, it's been a divided Congress, Republican House and Democratic Senate. Mitch McConnell, by all reports, absolutely blindsided by Olympia Snowe's announcement. What does it do to that Republican ambition, desire?
Well, it makes it harder. That plus the rumors this week that Bob Kerry might get into the race. He'd have to decide by tomorrow to take Ben Nelson's seat. The Republicans had figured that Nebraska was an easy pickup. With Bob Kerry, it would be much less so.
If he comes back home to Nebraska to go for it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the other thing to remember about the Senate, Tom, is it isn't just who has the majority. It's not like the House, where the majority can pretty much get its will on whatever it wants if it has, you know, one more vote than the other side. The Senate's a different place, and even if it's a very tight race, or a tight split between the new Senate, you still have people like Susan Collins, who can and has voted with Democrats as often as, in fact, even more than Olympia Snowe did. When you rank the least likely to vote Republican, Susan Collins narrowly edged out Olympia Snowe in a new survey by the National Journal. So even if Mitch McConnell is majority leader, he still has to deal with a declining number of moderates, but they're still there.
But that breed is getting rare. I mean, sit back with a scale and look at it. If the Olympia Snows leave the field, if they walk off and say, it's just too ugly, I just don't enjoy it anymore, who comes in to fill their shoes? And what kind of ideological stripes is likely to come into that vacuum?
Well, that's a very good point. I think in the case of Maine, you're likely to see a strong Democrat. But if you look at some of the others that are leaving, Joe Lieberman, you know, an independent voice gone, Kent Conrad, even though he's a Democrat and voted with them consistently, was always in the middle of bipartisan negotiations, you know, the heart of the Gang of Six, Kent Conrad, looking for middle ground. Jeff Bingaman, head of the Energy Committee for years, and a strong bipartisan voice, someone that you could talk to on the other side of the line. This was a committee that was notably bipartisan. Remember, they were about to vote a bill to the floor back when Democrats had control of the House, and it looked like the committee was prepared to open for drilling in Anwar. And at that moment, Majority Leader then Tom Daschle said, no, we're not going to take the committee's bill. We're going to work out a bill on the floor, because he didn't like what he was looking at. Mm. Environmentalists were too concerned that a Democratic bill could include opening for Anwar. So that's the climate they're in, that even good committee work, even when you can get a bipartisan consensus, if it isn't quite what the national leaders want or the main elements of the base want, it's pulled. And something straight out of the leader's office replaces it. Well, you know, what's the point?
Republican moderate U.S. Senator from Maine Olympia Snowe saying it's just not fun anymore. She will not run for re-election. And there's a kind of a litmus test of what's going on Capitol Hill. Gail Chadwick with the Christian Science Monitor. It's always great talking with you, Gail. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Tom.
Listeners, thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.